This morning we want to consider the phrase that the Apostle Paul uses there in Ephesians chapter 4 where he says, you have been called. In fact, he tells the Ephesian brethren, you need to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling with which you have been called. We want to talk a little bit about that calling this morning. Certainly, when we read in the book of Revelation and some of the images that are presented before us there in chapter 17 and verse 14 in particular, it talks about the war against the Lamb and the Lamb overcoming. It says, because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful. And when we read in the book of Romans, as the Apostle Paul writes to those brethren there, he says, we know that God causes all things to work together to good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We've heard the first part of that verse a lot. Let's not forget, we are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He justified. These whom He justified, He glorified. There's several things involved in that passage about this calling. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning as we consider the fact that we have been called. And the first thing we want to make note of is that we are called by God. We're not called by men. We're called by God. We're not called by ourselves or by some sort of still small voice within our heart. We are called by God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you. A similar instruction to what's given to the Ephesian brethren. Emphasizing once again that it is God, deity, who calls us to His own kingdom and glory. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the first part of that book, he said in chapter 1 and verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? If you go a few verses back, you find that His there is the God who is the Father of Jesus, the God who gave us Jesus Christ. That's the one who called us. Faithful is He who calls you, and He will also bring it to pass. Not necessarily using the name of God there, but reminding us of one of the qualities of God. We're called by one who is faithful, trustworthy, and true. One that we can put our entire lives into His hands. We need to recognize that in regards to who has called us. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. We'll talk about this a little more as we go further along. But the One who called us is holy, set apart, different. We recognize that when one is called to a particular to a particular position. Many, many years ago, way before my time or before I was realizing what time was, there was a call sent out by the nation for men to come and stand up and fight. And they came and they answered that call because they wanted to help that one. They recognized the need that was there and they had desire to assist. And we need to recognize that sort of thing in regards to our call by God. We were called for His purpose, and those men that answered that call were called for a purpose, and they answered that purpose. But never let us forget that it is God, the Creator, who has called us, and that He has called us away. He has called us away. Holy brethren, therefore, the Hebrew writer says, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the high priest and the apostle and high priest of our confession. We are called away from the things of the world to put our minds, our focus, our thoughts on Jesus. We're called away from the things of the world because we've been called, as we made mention just a moment ago, to a holy calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. We are called away from the world and whatever purposes that we might have therein for the purpose of God, the purpose of Christ, as it's revealed to us in Scripture. We are called away from the world to an upward and high calling. We read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. The call that we've received has called us away to separate ourselves. It's called us toward God and Christ Himself and the teachings that are found within the pages of their Scripture. Because as we also noticed, that is by the way by which we are called. We're called through Christ. As we've studied recently in the writings of the Apostle Peter, and we'll see again in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, when we get there in our Sunday morning Bible class, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We're called in or through Christ. Through the grace that has been poured out upon us by God, as Paul speaks in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, God who has set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through His grace was pleased. And as Paul told the brethren in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at all these together, we recognize that what is being said here in the pages of Scripture is that we are called by Christ through His gospel because of the grace of God. God allows us to know about Christ through His grace. And our knowledge of Christ comes through the gospel. When Paul says there in the Thessalonian letter, our gospel, he's not saying a gospel of his own devising. Wouldn't take much reading in the book of Galatians to recognize that the Apostle Paul tells everyone his gospel didn't come from him or from men. It came directly from Christ. It is the gospel of Christ that calls us to be separated from the world so that we can be with God. To leave behind and latch on to. But it's not just important for us to recognize how we receive this calling, what this calling is about, and who it came from. We need to understand what this calling entails. When someone calls us, they're calling us to something, aren't they? Most likely. We need to understand what we are called unto. And while this word enlightenment might not perfectly fit all these things we're going to look at, I think to some degree it does. We are called to enlightenment. And by enlightenment, I mean a better understanding, a more full knowledge in regards to things that we can only receive through this calling of Christ, and also a higher plane. We are called to something more than what we can find in this world. First of all, we are called to grace. We are called, in fact, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, have called you in the grace of Christ. We turn to this passage often when we're talking about false teachers and our need to be wary from them. But notice this passage tells us we are called in the grace of Christ. In fact, some versions may render that into the grace of Christ. Now, we're not going to get into an entire lesson of what grace is all about and what it covers, but suffice it to say, it's something that we don't deserve. It's something that we cannot earn, something we can't get of our own accord.
God calls us to His grace, the blessings that He has prepared for us. God calls us to them, to His gracious desire and hopes for us, not in this life, but in the life to come. It's also said in Scripture that we are called to peace. I guess we should touch on 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, since I have it there on the screen. He called us with a holy calling, not because of our works. And this emphasizes this idea. It's not something that we can gain, something we can do on our own, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is granted to us in Christ from all eternity. There again, emphasizing this idea, it's not something we can attain on our own. And I think we need to keep that in mind in regards to peace as we turn there and consider that as well. God calls us to peace. A peace that is described in some passages as beyond the understanding that we might be able to have. A peace that we can't attain on our own. We sometimes look at our lives and say, well, everything's peaceful right now. That may be because, you know, none of the kids are sick and nothing's broke in the house and the vehicle's working like it's supposed to. Everything is peaceful. Of course, most of the time us dads are thinking, I better get ready because if it's this peaceful now, something's going to break. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a peace that gives us contentment where we are and who we are because we are with God. Now, I hesitate to say gives us contentment where we are because sometimes folks look at it and say, oh, well, then however I am, everything's fine. No. We're given peace because we are with God. We answered the call. And we're called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule or reign in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful, Paul told the Colossian brethren. Peace of God, not peace in this world, but the peace of God. For He Himself, Paul told the Ephesian brethren in chapter 2, verse 14, beginning, He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both into the one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity, and He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Now this touches a little more on the peace that we can have amongst one another. Paul is specifically talking about the animosity that was between Jew and Gentile at that time. And here he's writing to a congregation that had both Jews and Gentiles. And he said, through the death of Christ on the cross, through the things that He endured and the teachings that He has given to us, you two groups are now at peace. You're one. And all that that entails. You who are Jews, look out for the well-being of the Gentiles. You who are Gentiles, look out for the well-being of the Jews. As Paul expressed the Gentiles one time later on, you've received the knowledge of Christ through these Jews. You received that. Now it's your turn to assist them in what they need. Now, what they needed was some physical help at that time. So it's only right. Why? You're one. You're brother. Somebody said, well, but, you know, we're a long way from the Jew and Gentile split. That's been over with for ages. I'm beyond that. I don't have any problem with Gentiles or Jews, either one. I don't even know which one I am. There are so many ways that we are not at peace. And we are called to peace with one another. It's that song we learned way, way back under. One of the first songs that we can probably remember learning, especially if we were in Bible class when we were little. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He doesn't care who you are, where you came from,
if you've answered his call, we are to be at peace. There is some disparity and problems with that today, especially in our society. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be at peace because we are one with God, because we all answered the call to come to peace that is found in Christ. It's a peace that we can't achieve on our own. It's a peace that is ours because we have willingly submitted ourselves to God above and beyond anything else. John records how Jesus told his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And when I read that passage, it comes across to me as a description of that peace that goes beyond understanding. It's that peace that we have because we know that no matter what happens to us in this world, we are at peace with God, and God is with us, and He will take care of us. Not just providing things for us, like we read in Matthew chapter 6, He'll help us with our everyday needs. But if we lose our lives as a servant of God, we don't die. Our body dies. But we're with God. We can be at peace. That's a peace that only comes through the call that God has sent out for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, available by His grace. Glory and virtue are ours. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory," and the New American Standard Version says excellence, older versions say virtue. Similar terms. Maybe you understand one better than the other. We're not called to our own glory and virtue. We're called to His glory and excellence. As we read in other passages, we're called to reign as kings. We're called to be a part of the royal family, brothers with Christ, sons of God. We're called to glory and excellence and virtue. Now, while there may be some passiveness to that, it should also be a reminder that we need to live up to that. We need to live our lives with glory and excellence, expressing the glory and excellence of God in how we conduct ourselves with others. We're called to liberty. And there again, it's this idea of enlightenment. Paul gave instruction, don't use your liberty to just go about and do whatever you want, but use your liberty to serve God. Now, the New American Standard, some of the newer versions use the word freedom. In fact, I think almost all the newer versions use the word freedom there instead of liberty. But we understand the connection between freedom and liberty. We learn about liberty in our history classes in school. And we know that it has to do with this idea of freedom. Notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subjected again to a yoke of slavery." What are you talking about, Paul? You've been set free from the things of this world. You're no longer chained down by the sin and wickedness and destruction of this life. You've been set free from those things by having been forgiven of your sins through obedience to the gospel. You need to live as that person who is free from those things, separated. Should we go back to sin again? May it never be, Paul told the Roman brethren. More sin does not give to more grace. More sin pulls us away from God. We live separate from sin.
verse 13 of that same chapter of Galatians 5. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use your freedom to get away with whatever you want. We're not free to go out and just act willy-nilly and whatever we want to do. We're free from sin. Let's stay away from it. Well, the thoughts that come to mind when I think about that, just go back to the bonds of slavery and such. You know, it'd be like we were caught in quicksand and somebody come along and pulled us out of the quicksand. And then when we started to head out, we just walked right back in it. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Yeah. We've been brought out of that. We live that way. And we are called to light. We are called to the light of God, as we see expressed in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we could spend more time than we have here talking about that. But not only are we called to the light of God, we're also called to be lights. Much as Jesus expresses to us in the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 5. And we see in other passages as well. We are called to enlightenment, a higher plane of living. We are called to exclusion. So what do you mean? Exclusion. And then you put up repentance there. How is that excluded? Well, isn't that sort of what, at least to some degree, what's involved in repentance? We turn ourselves away from who we have been to become who God wants us to be. We have been called to exclude the world from our life, haven't we? I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Jesus said in Luke 5. And Paul, when he spoke to those in Athens, said, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, should leave what they have been in the life before to become what God wants us to be, to exclude ourselves from that, which brings us to the next point. We're called to be saints, set apart. I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 7 first. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. That's the idea of saints. Set apart. It's also the idea of holy, because the one who has called you is holy. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, he said, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling. With all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. We're set apart. We need to live as those who are set apart. Saints. Excluded from the world. Separate and apart from. Because we're called into fellowship with Jesus. We were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul continues with the Corinthian brethren. We're to be in a relationship with Him. We are to be fellows with the Son of God, excluded from the world. We're called to great blessings. And we've been studying in the book of 1 Peter about how we ought to bear up under our sufferings. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Endure the sufferings and sorrows because there's a blessing awaiting. As Paul said, the sufferings that we'll have to suffer here on this world are not worthy to be compared to the blessings that are ours in the hereafter. But let's not forget, we're also called to suffer. Servants, be submissive to your masters in all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable, for this finds favor. For if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For if
For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do that is what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God, for you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And Paul told Timothy that indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We're called to suffer. We don't like to think about that. We like to think about being called to blessings, called to fellowship. We're also called to suffering. Why? Because we're different than the rest of the world. Because we put our focus on serving God. We've excluded ourselves from the world. We're called to suffer. And to eternity. We're called to eternity. We're not called just to life here on earth. We're called to life with God for all eternity. Time and time again, as we have studied through the Scriptures, looking at what Jesus has to say in the Gospels, what we've seen in the Epistles, as we've studied in our various classes, we've been reminded that what it's all about is heaven, not here. We're called to eternity. Sometimes I think we get the idea that our calling in Christ has everything to do with here. But remember, Paul said, if you know our blessing is in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. Our blessing, our hope is not here. It's in heaven. We've been called to eternal glory. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We're called to eternal glory. We sometimes seek glory while we're here on the earth. We like for people to think well of us. But the calling that we've received from God through the gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to an eternal glory with God. To his glory forever and ever and ever and however many ever you want to add on to that. A glory that never ends and never fails. You know, the greatest of whichever sport you want to look at, basketball, football, baseball, I don't care. At some time their glory fades. The glory we're called to will not fade. It's eternal. We're called to eternal life. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Make the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We're called to eternal life. Life that never ends. Jesus is a mediator, we're told in Hebrews chapter 9. A mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And later in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, we read the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. It's not this life that we're focused on. It's not this life that we're given. It's eternal life. We're given an eternal kingdom. We walk in a manner worthy of the God that calls you into His own kingdom and glory. An eternal kingdom. All things have been put into subjection under the feet of Jesus. He's the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. He reigns supreme, and we're called to Him. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The body of Christ we are called into, that kingdom that will last forever. We are called to a different life, to be a different kind of person, to be separated from the world, because our focus is not on the here, but on the hereafter. We're called to eternity. And we need to answer the call.
In fact, we need to return the call. There's been a couple of passages we've looked at already that talk about calling on the name of the Lord. We need to call on God. He has called us. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17, we have a passage there that emphasizes the need to give attention to the Word, to listen to the calling, and then answer that call. It closes that little passage in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Apostle Paul was told by Ananias in the city of Damascus, "Why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." You need to call on the Lord. Be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, Peter tells us. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble, in the first chapter of his second epistle. Because returning the call gives us hope. We would not know about this hope if it were not for the message of Christ. If it were not for the fact that God in His graciousness saw fit to allow us to know about what was there. And because of that call that God has given, we can have hope. Just like the employee can hope for his wages at the end of the week or the end of the day, whatever the case may be. If we continue in the faith, Paul told the Colossian brethren, chapter 1 and verse 23, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. We need to continue in that faith in which we have been called. To keep our focus on God. Because Christ has been established to preach forever, as we read in the book of Hebrews. Through this call, we can have hope. You know, there are two things that are going to happen when you hear the call of God. Either, like Israel of old, as we read in Isaiah chapter 66 or 65 and verse 12, "I called, but you did not answer." Or, we will answer the call, knowing that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, as we read in Acts chapter 2. The call of God is a call that separates us from the rest of the world. It makes us different. Not the best of examples. But I see here the example of one who is called to the military. He becomes different than the rest of the world. And I can attest to that a horrible word I can. Your focus and your interest in life change because you have a desire to please the one that you've chosen to serve. And that very image is used by the Scriptures for us as Christians. We've answered the call of God. Now, as Paul urged the brethren at Ephesus, walk in a manner that is worthy of that call. Enlightened. Excluded. And focus on time. Change. And live according to God. That's what answering the call is. How are we deciding to acknowledge and support to obey? We've answered that call, but are we still living that way? Paul was not writing to those who were not Christians. He was writing to those who had chosen to serve the Lord, who had answered the call. He said, "Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you have been called." And the urging of the Apostle Paul is going before us today. How are we walking in regards to the call that we've received from God? We walk as if it were from God. We walk according to what was delivered to us. Has it separated us? Has it made us different? Yeah, better than the rest of the world that haven't been our question. Glory, peace, life, holiness. If not, you listen to the call of him. Once he's going to come back to the Lord. If you look this morning and find there's something in your life that's amiss as a child of his, you have an opportunity to correct it. You can pray to God and ask him to forgive, and he promises to give up your sins away as if they had never been.
holding the company in the answer. So it's just a public nature to be corrected publicly rather than for within the day. You know, later, I fully urge you to do so. The call of the gospel of Christ is powerful in the scriptures. It is urgent that we listen to what he says as he calls and give attention. You make the determination to answer that call and guide our lives by his word. If you've not done that, we urge you to do so this morning, confessing your beliefs in Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, and be buried in baptism so that you might receive the remission of your sins, having all things washed away and put in life, and be free from the bondage of the sin and the world that is filled with it. Become a child of God in obedience to the gospel. If we can assist you in that, have an opportunity. Is yours. Why not come? Let's stand and say.